RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and the European Union to commemorate 1 year certified timber export to the European Union member countries. Foreign ministers of Indonesia and Palestine to conduct bilateral meeting. Now the news in details. The Minister of Environment and Forestry of the Republic of Indonesia and the European Union held a workshop as a reflection on a one-year cooperation of both parties in the European Union forest law enforcement, governance and trade license, which has been issued since November 15, 2016. This is aiming to reduce illegal logging by strengthening officials and sustainable forest management to improve better governance and to promote trade. This year, there is an increasing percentage for Indonesia's wood exports and Britain is one of European countries, which becomes the largest market for Indonesian wood products. This was conveyed by the British ambassador to Indonesia, Muazza Malik, during a press conference, First Year Cooperation Reflections, Ministry of Environment and Forestry and European Union for Management and Promotion of Forest Products at Mangala Wana Bakti Building in South Jakarta on November 30, 2017.
Selama tahun pertama sesudah SBLK diresmikan.
During the first year after SBLK was inaugurated, we see the number of Indonesian wood exports increase by approximately 17%, and the UK became the largest market for Indonesian wood products. So I think the program is very successful, preserving Indonesia's forests, but also opening very beneficial steps for Indonesian industry and employment. On November 15, 2016, Indonesia's Verification and Legality System, SVLK, has been recognized by the European Union, and Indonesia becomes the first country to issue FLEGD license on timber products exported to the European Union, and which automatically meets the strict European Union legality requirements. Since then, Indonesia has been sending legal timber and timber products worth more than 1 billion euros to 28 European Union member states. Indonesian and Palestinian foreign ministers will hold a bilateral meeting in Jakarta on December 5th. In addition to the meeting, the Palestinian Minister of Foreign Affairs will also attend a conference on capacity building for Palestine organized by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Spokesman of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Arman Atanasir, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, explained that there will be some issues that become the focus of the bilateral meeting. Among others, related to the latest development in Palestine, there is, of course, also the efforts to strengthen Palestine on the international floor. According to the latest news, Palestinian state membership in Interpol is recognized. This will become the attention of both ministers. Arwanata further explained that the two foreign ministers would also discuss about strengthening relation between Indonesia and Palestine in the economic field. Related to a seminar, two issues would be in the focus, namely humanitarian assistance and technical assistance from Indonesia to Palestine. From 2008 until this year, Indonesia has sent more than 1,800 technical assistance worth $10 million to Palestine. Besides the government, Indonesian people have also provided a lot of humanitarian assistance, such as building a hospital. The 10th Bali Democracy Forum, or BDF, is scheduled to be held in Tangerang, Banten Province, on December 7 and 8 due to the eruption of Mount Agung in Bali. Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Cecep Herawan, explained that the situation in Bali is still normal, but the impact of the Mount eruption affected the flight activities and made the international airport of Ngurah Rai dan Pasar closed for 2 days. Nevertheless, according to Cecep, the spirit and content of the 10th Bali Democracy Forum will continue to be improved and there is no significant difference with the previous implementation. He said that as of Thursday afternoon, 29 delegates have confirmed their presence at the 10th Bali Democracy Forum. 6 of them are international organizations.
Kepala negara atau pemerintahan yang sudah menyampaikan konfirmasi kehadirannya adalah Presiden Nauru.
President of Nauru has confirmed his attendance. The number of ministers in attendance has increased compared to the previous year, namely 16 ministerial level officials, 10 deputy ministerial level officials, and the others are delegates of ambassador level officials or the director general level officials. Cecep Hermawan further explained that the 10th Democracy Forum will be opened by President Joko Widodo and he will deliver a keynote speech. The implementation of the Bali Democracy Forum this time will be different from the previous year. This year there will be a ministerial dialogue moderated by the President's Special Staff for the Middle East region, Alwi Shihab, and the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs of period 2001-2009, Hasan Wirayuda. A constructive dialogue is expected in which the participants would share about democracy in their respective countries. The plenary sessions will be chaired by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi. Prior to the 10th Bali Democracy Forum, there will be Civil Society and Media Forum on December 5th and 6th. In addition, the forum will also feature Bali Democracy Students Conference, attended by 160 students from various countries. The conference aims at introducing democracy among youth. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The 2017 Indonesianisme Summit will be held on December 9th at the Grand Sahid Jaya Hotel in Jakarta to showcase the country's future plan of developing domestic technology, manufacturing, and infrastructure sectors. The event is organized by the Alumni Association of the Bandung Institute of Technology and will feature key stakeholders from the government, including Deputy Energy and Mineral Resources Archandra Tahar, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, and Head of Food and Drug Monitoring Agency Penny Lukito. Moreover, companies from the private sector will also join the summit, including car distributor Astra, state-owned communication operator Telkomsel, state-owned energy company Pertamina, and e-commerce marketplace Bukalapak. The Alumni Association of the Bandung Institute of Technology Chairman Ridwan Jamaluddin said in a recent statement that one of the keys for a country to win its own industrial growth is an orchestrated effort from the government and its citizens. This has been shown in developed countries such as Germany, Japan, and South Korea, who know that they have limited natural resources and the only way to survive is to conquer technology and industry. Coordinating Minister of Human Development and Cultural Affairs Puan Maharani led a meeting on anticipating flood, landslide, and Bali Mount Agung eruption emergency alert. The meeting was joined by several ministers as well as the head of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, head of Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, head of National Search and Rescue Agency, and Jakarta Governor. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, who attended the meeting, talked about the preparation of Bali tourism hospitality in accommodating the needs of foreign tourists. The Tourism Ministry adopts 3 steps in handling this crisis: emergency response, rehabilitations, and normalizations. These 3 approaches are based on the standards set by the UNWTO. Indonesia's electrification ratio has reached 93.08% and is expected to reach 100% by 2019, which means that there will be no more areas without electricity by 2019. Secretary of the Director General of Electricity from the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Agus Tribusono, stated during the discussion event on the electricity services of Indonesia, organized by Forum Merdeka Barat 9 of the Ministry of Communication and Informatics in Jakarta on Thursday, that the ministry is trying to supply electricity to all regions across Indonesia in 2019. This figure has exceeded the target in 2017 with 92.75%. It is said that when calculated by area, the highest electrification ratio is in West Java with 99.87%, followed by Banten with 99% and the capital city of Jakarta with 98.8%. This means that the various regions of Indonesia have already received 70 to 90% electrification ratio. Authorities have reopened Lombok International Airport following a report from Darwin Volcanic Ash Advisory Center saying that the weather condition has improved. Oral Sam Wheeler, head of the meteorology station at Lombok International Airport, quoted the information based on an observation conducted by the Darwin Volcanic Ash Advisory Center satellites. He said on Friday, December 1st, there was good news from Darwin VAAC. The image sent by the VAAC shows that the Lombok airspace is free from Bali's Mount Agung volcanic ash. Wheeler also quoted the result of a coordination meeting held at Lombok International Airport Emergency Office Center to discuss the spread of Mount Agung volcanic ash. The meeting led by the Lombok International Airport General Manager I Gusti Ngurah Ardite resulted in the decisions to reopen the airport as the weather condition has improved. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. For today's title of commentary is, Why is North Korea still launching intercontinental guided missile nuclear? North Korea, which has ignored the sanctions imposed, relaunched its guided missile nuclear. The intercontinental nuclear launch was done about 2 months after Pyongyang was silent as if it would fulfill the international sanction on nuclear tests that had been done. The intercontinental nuclear is named Hwasong-15. Pyongyang claimed that the so-called Hwasong-15 is the most sophisticated and powerful since North Korea has launched its ballistic nuclear test. Pyongyang confidently asserted that the intercontinental nuclear is equipped with rockets and super powerful warheads that could attack the entire territory of the United States. Pyongyang's statement was reinforced by observer statements saying that North Korean latest guided missile nuclear could reach Washington. The truth of the outreach and the impact of the nuclear explosion, which has been just tested more recently by North Korea, is still debatable. What the Pyongyang communist regime has carried out has at least two aspects. First, Pyongyang still insists on its ambition as the only country in the world is capable and courageous to make and to test intercontinental guided missile nuclear. Pyongyang wants to show that its ability cannot be hampered through international sanctions. Secondly, Pyongyang wants to state that the country on the Korean Peninsula is not afraid of U.S.-led international threats and sanctions. The question is why the small and poor country has agreed bravely against the pressure and sanction imposed. To respond, the question needs in-depth analysis. But at least it can be said that Pyongyang tries to use the talks between President Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping when President Donald Trump visited Beijing. Based on the meeting, rhetoric came up that the resolution of the crisis of the Korean Peninsula on which North Korea continues to carry out its nuclear tests should be done through dialogue and military actions. Pyongyang seems to view it as an indirect support from Beijing. Pyongyang government also views that Washington's previous strong statement is not a reason for North Korea to stop its nuclear ambitions. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin with an event on December 1st is commemorated as the World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day, designated on 1st December every year since 1988, is dedicated to raising awareness of the AIDS pandemic caused by the spread of HIV infection and mourning those who have died on the disease. Government and health officials, non-governmental organizations, and individuals around the world observe the day, often with education on AIDS prevention and control. The World AIDS Day is one of the 8 official global public health campaigns marked by the World Health Organization, WHO, along with World Health Day, World Blood Donor Day, World Immunization Week, World Tuberculosis Day, World No Tobacco Day, World Malaria Day, and World Hepatitis Day. Since 1995, the Presidents of the United States has made an official proclamation on the World AIDS Day. The next event was on December 1, 1956, when Mohammad Hatta resigned as Vice President of Indonesia. Mohammad Hatta, or famously called Bung Hatta, is a warrior, statesman, economist, and also the first Vice President of Indonesia. He, together with Sukarno, played an important role for the independence of Indonesia from the Dutch colonial, as well as proclaimed the independence of Indonesia on August 17, 1945. He has served as Prime Minister. On 1st December 1956, Hatta resigned as Vice President of Republic of Indonesia because he differed from President Sukarno, and his position was replaced by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. Hatta is also known as Father of Indonesian Corporation. Jakarta International Airport Soekarno-Hatta uses his name as an honor on his service. Besides being immortalized in Indonesia, the name of Mohammad Hatta is also immortalized in the Netherlands as a name of a street at Zuiderpolderstraat area, Haarlem, with the name of Mohammad Hatta Straat. In 1980, he died. Bung Hatta is decided as one of national heroes on October 23, 1986, through Presidential Decree Number 081/1986. And the last event was that in 2006, Edi Sudrajat, Minister of Defense and Security of Development Cabinet, died. Retired General Edi Sudrajat is one Indonesian military figure. He was the only one who has served as Chief of Staff of Indonesian Army, Commander of Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia, and Minister of Defense and Security in the same time. Edi Sudrajat graduated from the First National Military Academy in 1960 and was chosen as the best graduate. When he served as Chief of Staff of Indonesian Army, Edi was included Chief of Indonesian Military, who called movement of back to basic for soldier, meaning soldiers must leave military business and really concentrate on their duty as National Guards who are professional. General Edi Sudrajat died on December 1, 2006, and he was buried at Kalibata National Cemetery in Jakarta. Listener, that was Today's in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with focus for today entitling Indonesia-Denmark Agree to Increase Cooperation. Listener, welcome to Focus for Today. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana received an official visit of Danish Prime Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen and Mrs. Solrun Løkke Rasmussen at the Bogor Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Tuesday. In a bilateral meeting, President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Rasmussen discussed the increasing cooperation between the two countries that have lasted for 67 years. In a joint press statement after the meeting, President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation to Danish investment in Indonesia.
Beberapa hal yang kita bahas dalam pertemuan.
We discussed some issues in the meeting. Firstly, I welcome the significant increase of Danish investment to Indonesia by 1,260% in line with the investment climate in Indonesia getting better. We hope the investment cooperation will increase.
Kita berharap kerjasama investasi semakin meningkat.
During the meeting, President Joko Widodo also expressed Indonesia's concern over the discriminatory and black campaign against palm oil that is still ongoing in Europe. The President asked Danish support for the negotiation of Indonesian-European Union Comprehensive Economics Partnerships Agreement. In the meeting, Indonesia-Denmark also agreed to increase cooperation in the maritime field, among others, cooperation to eradicate the crime of fish theft and support of Denmark toward our ocean conference in Indonesia, which will be held in 2018. Furthermore, both countries also agreed to increase cooperation in the field of environment, among others, the Environment Spot Program, one of the important cooperation projects in the Hutan Harapan Conservation Project in Jambi. In addition, there has also been agreed the cooperation on inter-university environment, waste management and water management cooperation. President Joko Widodo explained in the meeting with Danish Prime Minister Rasmussen also discussed about renewable energy. According to the President, the discussions will be focused for the long term. He asserted the fulfillment of renewable energy and energy conservation as well as wind energy development is one of the priorities. Meanwhile, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said the technology of plastic waste management developed by Denmark will soon be implemented in some big cities in Indonesia, such as Jakarta, Bandung, Semarang, Solo, Surabaya, and Medan. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The 2017 Indonesianisme Summit will be held on December 9th at the Grand Sahid Jaya Hotel in central Jakarta to showcase the country's future plan of developing domestic technology, manufacturing and infrastructure sectors. Coordinating Minister of Human Development and Cultural Affairs Puan Maharani led a meeting on anticipating floods, landslide and Bali Mount Agung eruptions emergency alert. Indonesia's electrification ratio has reached 93.08% and is expected to reach 100% by 2019, which means that there will be no more areas without electricity by 2019. Authorities have reopened Lombok International Airport following a report from Darwin Volcanic Ash Advisory Center saying that the weather condition has improved. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Togal art, a typical art of North Maluku. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Indonesia is rich with various types of traditions and traditional art, which is different from each other. Even in one region or province has different traditional art. For example, people in various regions in North Maluku held a tradition of joget or baronggeng party to enliven the wedding ceremony. Baronggeng tradition is usually held at the bride's house after the wedding reception, but especially in Bokimiake area, South Halmahera Regency, North Maluku, the local people do not familiar to joget in their wedding's event or other activities. Joget tradition is considered something taboo for the local community of Halmahera. To enliven the wedding, the people usually held a traditional art, namely togal. Listener, togal is an entertainment tradition that existing in the community in North Maluku Province. This tradition combines several elements, such as music, dance, and poetry lyrics. This tradition has been going on since ancient times and continues to be maintained as a tradition of Bokimiake community until nowadays. This tradition is a form of obedience to the ancestors and also as one of effort to preserve traditional music. For the local community, togal music is a multifunctional music because in addition can be enjoyed as an art, it also become a glue of values of friendship and brotherhood. Listener, there are at least four types of musical instruments used in togal music, namely violin, called viol by the Bokimiake people, gambus, gong and tifa or drum rebana. However, with only a violin and tifa, togal can still be performed. From the four musical instruments, violin is the most dominant because the sound of violin becomes the determinant of rhythm to guide people's movement who dance accompanied by togal music. Moreover, the violin in togal art becomes a magnet for those who listen it to come to togal art event. Besides, its performance is aimed to enliven the event, togal music or togal art is usually performed in the traditional or welcoming guests. For traditional events or welcoming guests, the dance is usually performed by five pairs of men and women, while at the wedding ceremony, it is played by many dancers, even hundreds of dancers depends on the area of the event. The togal art, which is played in a traditional ceremony or welcoming guest, is also followed by a rhyme containing advice to do a goodness by quoting Quranic verses and hadith or messages from the ancestors. For weddings, sometimes also accompanied by rhymes to give command to those who are dancing. The dance movement in togal art relatively not difficult, so that it can be done by anyone. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic togal art from North Maluku Province. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feast, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it a sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. In addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress, that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning. Namely, black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spring. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abda'u from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held every Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abda'u is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abda'u fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. Thank you. Communities in Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitri or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes the character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me Dee in our regular segments of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's Music Corner, we'll present you Malay songs and music. A traditional music starts and grows in the Sumatran East Coast, Kalimantan, and Malayan Peninsula. This type of music is usually performed by the Malay people accompanied by the Malay typical dances. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song entitled Laksamana Raja di Laut by Iyeth Bustami. Happy listening.
Mudah-mudahan hadirin semua menjadi purwa.
Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Laksmana Raja di Laut. The song brought the singer's name, E.S. Bustami, to the top of her popularity, especially in the Malay music world. Sri Bharat, popularly known as E.S. Bustami, originally came from Bengkalis Riau. She started her journey in the Indonesian entertainment world since 1990 when she released a Malay album together with Ria Angelina. In 2004, Iyeth released another album entitled Laksamana Raja di Laut. Another song included in this album entitled Ijuk and Terbalut Rindu. The song Laksamana Raja di Laut is a song presented to honor and welcome guests. In addition, the song lyrics are full of moral messages to maintain and preserve the Malay culture. E.S. Bustami's beautiful and powerful voice combined with the distinctive Malay typical twist that she possessed made the song a hit and widely loved. Listener, the upcoming Malay song entitled Ijuk by E.S. Bustami.
Dapat dibedakan bualan dan kasih sayang. Kukira sirih akan bertemu pina kapur kau sajikan. Mengapa getah damar kau bawa menjadi kaca bening berbisa. Kaulah penyebabku luka. Aku
tak mungkin dapat ku akan bertemu pinang suci kapur kau sajikan. Mengapa getah damar kau bawa menjadi kaca bening berbisa? Kaulah penyebabku luka.
Listener, Ijuk is a song telling about a painful one-sided love. The song is full of poem-like lyrics which are usually found in a typical Malay song. After the release of her Malay album in 1990, Iyeth Bustami moved to Jakarta in 1993 to spread her wings in the Indonesian music industry. She then released a Malay pop album 40-60 under JK Record in 1994. Listener, despite being well known to have a distinctive and powerful Malay twist before, Iyeth Bustami was crowned as the best female singer of 2003 in the Anugerah Dangdut Award held by one of the private TV stations in Indonesia. Besides, the 43-year-old singer then released another album using Minang language. Iyeth, who was born on August 24, 1974, has also issued a song album of Minang language. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to a song by Iyeth Bustami entitled Laila Canggung and Tanjung Katung. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
Laila Canggung, Laila Canggung, Laila resah hatinya bingung.
engkau dipuji, engkau dipuja Laila, pandai menari cantik parasnya. Kemana-mana senyum di bawah Laila, riang Selasih bertemu bulan. Tetapi punya nasibnya bunga Laila, layu dirayu kumbangan lalu.
Laila canggung.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.